Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Astros win last night 13-3. A lot of good in that game, man. A lot of good in that game. Five bombs, two of them courtesy of Cam Smith. First home runs since April 18th, so it's been almost 2 months, or at least as of last night, almost 2 months, that Cam Smith had hit a home run. So hopefully this is the beginning of a Cam storm here, Seth. We get little power surge from Cam Smith here would be fun.
And you know, as we'll follow the Cubs as it gets closer to the postseason, and Kyle Tucker, who's cooled off a little bit, he's not looking like the greatest outfielder who ever lived, or baseball player who ever lived, like he did in the first month of the season.
First month he was good, yeah.
Still been very good. Don't get me wrong. He's still been very, very good. But yeah, the two things. One is that the trade looks better and better. The more Cam Smith, I mean, the difference between rookie Cam Smith and rookie Kyle Tucker couldn't be more vast.
Yeah.
Cam Smith is playing in the last 2 months as an above average Major League Baseball player.
Yep.
Whereas Kyle Tucker finished his rookie season batting 155.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry about that.
That's okay.
There's things about this Astros team that I'm just jumping full, like whole hog into them. And I'm done like worrying and wondering how they're actually winning games or where they are. The amount of good things that could happen to this team just by sheer luck is far greater than the number of bad things that could happen, knocking on wood, as I said.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Well, and they're a really good team with two outs, you know, like the hitting with two outs. They score a ton of their runs with two outs, which is a sign of a team that's got a clutch gene to it, at least, right?
Well, and even like what you saw last night was they scored twice with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
I thought it was flukish that they were the worst team in the league hitting with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
When there were so many good, and like so many of the other clutch parts, they were a lot better than you would expect for a team that hasn't scored that many runs. So I think that kind of luck part of it, and then the injury luck is the other thing. Yes, more guys will get injured, but the number of potential guys you have coming back from injury is at least a few of them are going to make it.
Yep.
Right? They're like, these are like baby sea turtles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you got enough of them that a few of them are going to make it out to the ocean, Sean, without getting swallowed up.
I'm confident in what Spencer Arrighetti's going to be once he gets back. I'm confident that Yordan Alvarez, I'm hoping that the hand was one of the reasons why he was playing so poorly and hitting so poorly by his standards, really by anybody's standards. His OPS is in like the 600s before he went on the IL on May 2nd. That Yordan's going to be Yordan again. Like, I don't think Yordan's, you know, I don't think he's fallen a few notches. I want to get to Will Kunkel's question, Seth. He posted this on X this morning, and I thought it was a good question, and it's relevant because about this time tomorrow, we'll be doing our next Astros Circle of Trust. And Jake Meyers was the big point of contention on the last one. This will be a bigger Circle of Trust. They've been playing much better baseball over the last couple of weeks. But the question that Will has Jake Meyers turned the corner and gone up a level in his career? This is not us right now adjudicating whether or not he's in the Circle of Trust. Just as Jake has turned the corner, I think, is the big thing. I think he's definitely gone up a level just based purely on the fact that he's putting his bat on the ball a lot more. We'll see if the batting average holds up over the course of the rest of the year. But I think he's definitely become a more professional hitter. Has he turned a corner, though? Has he turned a corner into a guy that you want to be the center fielder for the Astros, not just this season, but beyond this season? I think that's a big question.
Our first question in answering that is, in knowing that you really can't answer this until you see the whole season, but
sure. If
you look at what we were concerned about was he had, in May, very similar numbers to the numbers he had at the end of May last year.
Correct.
And then he fell off of a cliff completely.
Yep.
He has not been as good in June as he was in May this year, but he's been pretty good. So in May, he had a .327 batting average, .879 OPS. In June, which we still have several days to go in June. He's got a 300 batting average and 746 OPS.
Yeah.
So he hasn't hit with it for as much power. But I'm almost more encouraged by June than I was by May, because we've seen him do awesome in May before, but then fall off of a cliff completely. He's been a viable, like, quality baseball player in the month of June so far. He's not as hot as he was, but is like without that drop, I feel a lot better about it.
He was an automatic strikeout last year. It felt like he struck out 117 times in 148 games last year. He's only struck out 45 times in 71 games this year. His strikeout rate is down, and I think just things like last night, Seth, like he. In the box score, it was a two-run single to get the Astros cranked up and going last night. He put them up 2-0. To the eyeballs, it was a broken bat that slid past the second base. You know, I don't know if it went over the second baseman's head or it was near the second baseman. It wasn't a hard-hit ball, but at least it was a hit ball. You know, whereas in previous years, it felt like Jake Myers, if he was coming up with guys on base, he was swimming. You know, like he was. It felt like he was going to be an automatic strikeout. He's at least putting his bat on the ball and giving himself a chance now in situations like that.
He's in the 83rd percentile in chase rate in a good way.
He's
in the 83rd percentile in chase rate. Strikeout rate, he's 79th percentile.
Yep.
He's made a lot of progress just in his overall approach, and he looks more like a professional batter.
That's the thing, man.
That's where it felt like in May to me. It felt more substantive than perhaps it has in the past.
According to Baseball Reference, he's got – His wins above replacement for the entire season last year was 1.7. He's got 1.7 wins above replacement this year already through 71 games. You know, so he is tracking to be a much more, you know, contributing to winning baseball player this season. It's 71 games in, as he was all of last season in 148 games.
And his run value is 4 right now defensively. He's still a very good fielder, obviously.
Yeah.
That hasn't waned.
We're peppering you with stats right now, but not in nearly as annoying a way as The Athletic did last night. I was so excited to read this article, Seth, when I saw the headline for this article. The Athletic did this thing yesterday where it's really fun that the Astros are finding their way back onto these lists and up near the top of the odds board again, because they've been playing so well. History says one of these five teams should win the World Series. I like articles like this. They do this at NCAA tournament time in basketball all the time. There's like four different things that the last 20 champions have had, and they wipe out teams with each criteria.
There's a defense, like
it's
your defensive
stuff.
Rating is a bar. Like, okay, this is a quality team that can do it. Makes sense.
Yeah. The first criteria eliminates 32 of the teams, and the next one wipes out 8 more, and then blah, 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 and you get down to the last one, and you're left with, you know, Kansas, Kentucky, and 3 or 4 other teams. I was so excited because I knew going into this article that the Astros were one of the five teams that made the cut at the very end, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to spoil it because I hate this article. Even though the Astros are one of the five teams that wind up in this thing at the end, who is the author of this article? It was someone by the name of Neil Payne.
Sounds like you're doing more of a favor if you hadn't mentioned his name.
Neil Payne.
Yeah,
probably.
So Neil Payne. Spelled Payne. The proper way, P-A-Y-N-E?
Nope.
Yeah.
So it makes him a jerk face, too. P-A-I-N-E.
Oh, just like one of the fathers of our country.
Thomas
but still,
Payne.
Yes.
Yeah. He spells it like him. But the five teams are the Astros, the Cubs, the Padres, the Tigers, and the Yankees. Those are the five teams that wind up getting through the gauntlet of stats like this. You must rank among the top 17 in on-base percentage or top 11 in slugging percentage.
Oh, okay. I can wrap my head around that real quickly. Yeah, this sounds like me when I try to do a power ranking and I have like three different, instead of just saying best or worst, I add all these conditions to it. Okay.
Top
17 in on-base percentage or top 11 in slugging.
That's one of the criteria. How about this one? Top 11 in on-base percentage allowed or top 16 in whip. Walks, hits, per innings, pit. Like this is, and the last one is just, the last one I wanted to gouge my, I hate this article because the Astros made it through the gauntlet that includes this very last piece. It's five things. I can't read all five because you'll want to drive off the road. You have to check at least four of these five boxes.
Okay.
Top 11.
Let me tell you right now, and I'll tell you where which box the Astros didn't check. Okay. I know I'll have it. Yeah. Okay.
Top 11 in lowest batting average on bases in, or on balls in play allowed. BABIP. Top 11. top here's the best part.
Yeah. Top, I'd say yes, they're in that one. Okay.
Top 20 in batting clutch.
Okay, I think that might be the one they missed. Okay.
Really? Because I think they've been like two outs. They've been amazing this year.
Yeah, but I don't know how much the bases loaded is factored into that or not.
Bases
runners
loaded.
On base, they've been... Okay, yeah, you're right. With two outs, then...
They've been
okay,
really
so
good.
They made that
I
one.
I mean, top 20. We're not talking top five. Top 20.
Yeah, oh, top 20.
Right. That's what makes this so stupid.
This is so dumb.
Top 20 in fewest home runs per nine innings allowed.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Any
there.
Pitching metric, they're going to be in the top freaking 20.
Yeah.
Top 25 in lowest.
Top 25 in speed score.
In speed score.
Oh. You just can't be one of the
I don't
five
even know
slowest
what's,
teams in
what
the
is,
league.
What is speed
I'm
score?
I'm guessing it's base running, right?
I guess. Which,
and the Astros have a lot of fast guys. That sounds to me like that author had one or two teams that he wanted to be sure were in the group.
Yeah.
So he did it. He went out and cherry picked all the stats.
This is the worst article of all
that
time.
Fit those articles.
It's
the
worst article. I hate this guy.
I feel like that's or it's AI generated. That he got the stats. He plugged in into AI. Hey, please find all these metrics.
Okay. So he's a
this
real.
This feels too much like any kind of doomsday prophecy where you can just go and find
whatever you
like,
want.
Five things that have happened this year that are similar to five things in the Bible.
Dude.
Which you can do for every single year since the year Jesus was crucified.
Okay,
you can find these five things happened.
That's this.
That's this guy.
Neil Payne, doomsday specialist is what he is. There was a graphic floating around the internet this weekend that had all 30 major league teams were leading MLB in at least one stat. And I'm like, wow, this is really, even the crappy teams are leading in a stat. That's really interesting. You know, like the Astros were leading the league in strikeouts by their pitchers, a real stat, right? A real stat, you lead the league. You know, there's obviously some team leading the league in batting average or home runs or whatever. I forget which team it was. It was one of the bad teams. It might have even been the Athletics. That leading the league in least sacrifice bunts allowed.
Well, there you go, Sean.
Yeah, they let in everything, man.
What's funny is when you look at the team stats, the Astros, as great as the pitching has been, well, as great as the bullpen has been, and the pitching, obviously at the beginning of the year, the starting pitching was in the top three in a lot of stuff, and it's fallen off as basically they've had very few major league pitchers out there at any given time.
Yeah.
They are still the league leaders in strikeouts.
Yeah, right now.
That's, of the major ones of quality starts, saves, earned run average, wins, et cetera. The strikeouts, that matches the eyeball test.
Yeah.
Especially because, with Hader, the whip of some of these guys, of the good pitchers, has been very good. They do not let a lot of guys on base.
Yep.
But even in having Framber, who's a ground ball guy, he kind of pulls you down a little bit. Framber will tell you himself he doesn't want to have that many strikeouts because that means he's not really pitching his game effectively.
His last start, and he's starting tonight, so this will be interesting to see. His last start was an extreme version of that because he only pitched five innings, but he struck out 12 guys.
Yeah.
12 of the 15 outs he got were strikeouts. But inherently, when you're striking out a lot of guys, you're running that pitch count up. You're literally mathematically not getting, when you're striking out guys, you're not getting any one or two pitch at bats,
When you go to the actual individual pitcher stats, Hunter Brown shows up a lot more. he's tied for second in wins with eight. He's third in ERA at 1.88.
Yeah, man.
And I thought he showed up one more time, but he didn't there. And some of the other ones.
We'll get Neil Payne on it. I'm sure he'll find several stats that Hunter Brown shows up in.
I think he's top 10 in whip. But, Hunter Brown is he's been pretty damn good this year.
Top 25 in speed score. What the hell are we doing? Oh, my God. Having watched and been an avid fan of pro sports for decades, what the NBA and ESPN have transitioned to pushed me to local media outlets like you all. Well, good job, Texter. Live and local, man. Yeah, embrace it. This guy doesn't like what ESPN and the NBA are doing to things. People bringing up Kevin Durant scoring. This is another text. As much as he did last year, forget the fact that he didn't lead his team anywhere. I don't want to hear anybody talk about how much Durant scored last year. Okay.
It's an odd one. Would you rather hear about whether he's in the top 21 of
in speed
batting average on balls in play
in speed
or defended or something?
I I think I understand what the texter's saying, which is, hey, he's that maybe his points were a lot of empty points. It didn't lead. It wasn't winning basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't lead to a lot of wins.
So that guy obviously hates Jalen Green as well, I suppose, as far as like as
well, yeah, prior to this year. Yeah.
So he had a lot of empty calorie scoring in 2000 previously before this year. This year he's obviously an integral part of winning.
Yeah. He definitely did. For the NBA, it's because the markets that have these off-season concerns are bigger than the markets in the championship. Yeah, we acknowledge that. I think I do think a big factor in what we were talking about in the previous segment is OKC and Indiana are you know, they're two markets where largely the interest is kind of what you talked about, Seth. It's, you know, the NBA fans that are interested in their own team and not the rest of the NBA, like those fans will actually probably get interested in the Lakers or the Celtics or some other team. They're really not interested in OKC. OKC, though, maybe if they keep having a couple years like this, maybe turns into the new Golden State. You know, they're a homegrown team, haven't gone out. I mean, the big trade they made was being on the other end of the superstar trade and getting Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. I think if they win a title, they close it out this week and they win a couple more, doesn't matter what market size you are. If you win a few titles in a row, people hate you anyways.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess it's just to address the texter's point of, you know, Kevin Durant didn't lead them anywhere. I think it's key to remember that if you're looking at it as, oh, they want to bring Kevin Durant in to lead them to a championship, I think you're looking at it the wrong way. I think the culture is really, really good in a lot of respects. Mm-hmm. And I think Fred VanVleet is a big part of that, and they depend on him. I think you're overcomplicating it if you think of it in that way as well. It's the simple fact of the matter is that Kevin Durant can score and has to be accounted for and will improve the spacing issues that the Rockets had last year. Like, that's, you don't have to overcomplicate this or pretend like scoring doesn't matter.
Yep.
Like, he is still a very, very good basketball player, but you're not looking at it like, oh, he's going to come in and change the culture of the team. He just needs to come in and fit into the culture. And a lot of that's up to whether Udoka thinks that that's a good fit or not. And it sounds like from reports that Udoka does think that that's a good fit.
Yeah, I think he's the complimentary player for this team, maybe understating what he means.
Right.
I mean, he's still a guy who averages – you didn't say that. I'm saying that right
now.
He still averaged over 25 a game last year. But that said, as an aging player, there's a decent chance he's not even the best player on the Rockets next year. Depending on who they send out in the trade, it might be Şengün or Amen Thompson, their best player next year.
Some of that, too, is in his conversations with – if he's at some point in the process, if he can have conversations with the Rockets themselves, all right, how does he view himself fitting into the offense and, like, how are they going to use him?
Yeah.
What kind of load management are we talking about? All of that. But it's not – he didn't lead the Suns to anything. Great. Yeah. I'm not asking him to lead. I'm asking him to be a really good basketball player.
Be a component of a championship team, 100%.
And then also, like, the actual leadership stuff that's going to happen by virtue of his playoff experience and everything else like that and just being around younger players, that's all there. But, yeah, it's not like you're looking at him as this is the guy who's going to lead us to the glory. I just look at him as a really good basketball player.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Brian Baldinger did a breakdown on one of the newest Houston Texans. Do we feel really, really good after hearing this breakdown? Or at the very end, do we feel concerned about the acquisition? This is some fun audio from Baldy that we've got for you coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Very excited for the C.J. Gardner-Johnson era. I just want to put that out there right now. I know I've mentioned it before. Very excited to see this fit in the Texans' defense. Excited for the energy he's going to bring. Possibly several more thousands and thousands of dollars in fines, maybe even a suspension here or there. I think he's going to fit hand in glove, Seth, on this swarmy defense, C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
It's you always want to have at least one guy that might get suspended for unnecessary violence. Unnecessary roughness is a euphemism. It's unnecessary violence is the way I like to think of it.
We've got like six. It's great.
2 years in a row, D'Amico's had somebody suspended for unnecessary roughness.
That's right, man.
And this is – I would not – If I had to gamble on at least one more this year, I would say that they're probably going to have a two-game suspension.
Oh, yeah. Yes, a Texan getting suspended is a solid minus 300 right now in the Pender books. On the big board, on the odds board, in my personal sports book, minus 300, we get an old suspension this year.
And I say, call it unnecessary roughness, if you will. I say that's the thing that's still keeping some element of toughness in the game.
Yes.
Which is, unfortunately necessary roughness. We got to remind people every now and then that this is supposed to be a violent game.
That's right. Yep. No, it's called unnecessary roughness just as a label, but it's like the Big Ten doesn't have 10 teams anymore. You know, it's the Big Ten. It's just, that's unnecessary roughness that we actually need in the game right now. So Brian Baldinger, who I love his breakdowns on Twitter because it's just him filming his screen of his laptop and showing the all 22 of a play of a player that he's kind of breaking down their performance. And he did one on CJ Gardner-Johnson back last year in the Eagles game against the Cowboys late in the season. It might have been the last game of the year, second to last game. Cooper Rush was starting at quarterback for the Cowboys. And here's Baldy. Listen to this. This gets you very excited until the very last thing that Brian Baldinger says in here. And you tell me, Seth, an audience, is this a concern to you about CJ Gardner-Johnson? Here's Baldy's breakdown on a pick six by CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Quinyon Mitchell outside. Cooper DeJean outside. They're funneling everything to the middle, to the hole player, which is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. And he sits there and he takes the slant away from Brandon Cook. And he goes house, 69 yards house. This Chauncey Gardner-Johnson had 12 interceptions in 28 starts for the Eagles. Like, who's going to replace that level of production? He's just a thief. He's a thief. He's a pit bull. He irritates his own teammates. But he's a great football player. And he played well in this scheme.
Okay, that last part. I'm all for having guys that are taking the heads of other teams' guys off. The part where he pisses off his own teammates. Is that a concern for you, Seth?
I don't know. Was he showing anything from that? Like, did he show any evidence of that?
No. I think that was just, Baldinger's up in Philadelphia, so I think he sees a lot of Eagles football.
Right. So I don't know if, how does he piss off his own teammates? That's the only question. Because there haven't really been, it's weird because I think he's really colorful with the media. We've seen it's almost just a stream of consciousness when he gets up there. Yeah. He's had some notable scuffles and penalties and an ejection last year that really hurt the defense.
It was
against the Chiefs at the end of the year. He got ejected and the defense really suffered after that. I think he's got a reputation as just being kind of a volatile personality. And yet it's not like he's an off-field concern. I haven't seen reports that he's a locker room headache or cancer or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. I'm struggling to remember the Texans player who was like this, where there were a bunch of curious, there was always like these curious teams suspended him for this. Oh, it was a defensive back that ended up going to the Steelers. He was really good as a rookie with the Chargers.
Desmond King was kind of
similar. Now, similar, not the same infractions.
What have
you?
Yes.
Remember, thank you. Desmond King, and I didn't get frustrated with you for not knowing it immediately.
I know.
Desmond King was a guy that it wasn't like there were reports of him being a bad dude. His teammates really seemed to like him. And yet, here and there, it was like, the team left Desmond King at home for violating team rules or whatever. So you just never, there was nothing you would report on. It was just weird. So CJ Gardner-Johnson, I'm not saying he's had the exact same issues that Desmond King has, but he's been on five different teams in six different stays, twice with the Eagles. The Eagles let him go, but then brought him back.
Like Desmond King. He got let go and got brought back by the Texans. Remember that?
And the Steelers, I believe.
Did he?
So, you don't know what it is, but he's just a little different. That's all. I don't know, but CJ Gardner-Johnson plays at a higher level than Desmond King has for the past few years.
Did you ever have a friend who you're like, man, I really like this guy, but only in doses? You know, like I have a buddy like that, and I'm really like he's in my circle of like my 10 best friends from high school, and yet he's the guy who we have a group text, and then we've got a group text that doesn't have him on it.
Like,
that kind of thing. You know, not because he's not because he's like over the top political or anything like that. He's just there
he
just are times
tells really good racist jokes. There,
no, he does.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he does. He does a lot. Well, he's Jewish and tells a lot of Jewish jokes, you know. So, but he's he can get away with that. But there are times we have to have that separate group text because there's times the other eight or nine of us need to let off a little steam about our buddy Ross. You know what I mean? Like it's so then maybe that's CJ Gardner Johnson. I could see where the Texan secondary, Seth, has a group text of all the guys. And then they've got a group text of everybody but CJ Gardner Johnson on there. You know,
he's like he's one of those. He's like that. Every now and then you need that shot that they give to people with drug overdoses.
Yeah.
Is it naloxone or something
is
like
it
that?
Not the one that they jammed into what's her name's chest in Pulp Fiction.
That was adrenaline.
That would be the opposite that you would
There is some other drug that they use, but let's call it that. Every now and then you just need a break. I don't know. But it's like on the written record, I don't see anything that hints that, oh, yeah, he's this big headache or anything. Yeah. I think that he, you know, in the interview that he did with Aaron Wilson, he kind of was talking around or about the issue that I think he feels like he should have been paid higher than he has in his career. But he also concedes that some teams just because I'm putting words in his mouth, but basically I don't walk the walk the way that they want you to be or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe because he doesn't fit the mold, teams are just a little bit uncomfortable with him. I feel like this is a great environment in having D'Amico Ryans as a coach who has a great tolerance for all different types of personalities as long as they play football hard.
They play, yeah.
As long as they really – and he does play football
all
hard.
Evidence is he plays football very, very hard. He seems pretty self-aware to me. I mean, he was the guy who said last week or 2 weeks ago he didn't go to OTAs because I'm a little extra.
Basically
sometimes.
Said I might be a little much for them. Well, because he said he was coming down off the mountain of winning a championship, and it almost felt like he didn't want to disrupt these guys who just, you know, had a real good feeling going and were maybe feeling good about. I have a feeling this is me projecting the way I would be on it.
Yeah,
it felt to me when CJ Gardner-Johnson was saying that like he's seen what it takes to win a championship, and he's coming into this situation where there are a lot of young guys that feel really good about themselves and have done a lot of really good things, but they really haven't accomplished anything yet.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to be the grumpy old guy that's like, eh, listen, settle down there, sport. You ain't done nothing that impresses me yet.
Or, you know, sometimes people get put into a new situation with new coworkers or friends or whatever, and all they do is talk about how things were done at the old place they used to work at.
Oh, that kind of thing.
When I worked over here, this is how we used to do this and that. And granted, CJ Gardner-Johnson is coming from a Super Bowl winning team. It's probably whatever he's saying is very applicable and good advice. But there is just that whole thing that there's too much of it sometimes. And once you get to the third or fourth kernel of good advice in 20 minutes, you're like, hey, we got it, dude. You were at a great place before. Stop telling us how bad things are right
here. You know what? I get into that. I have that feeling sometimes when I go back home or to my wife's home and, you know, we're just at, you know, dinners or birthday parties or whatever. I'm real careful about, sometimes I feel like I'll be telling a story about something that happened in Houston or something cool that they have in Houston.
Yeah.
Because like, there's a lot, Brandon and I both come from pretty rural areas.
Yeah.
So like, I'm always like, if I tell one story about something really cool that I did in Houston or saw in Houston, it feels like if I brought up another thing, it almost feels like I don't want them to look at me like, oh, here's the guy from the big city telling us how great it is and us rubes out here in the sticks don't.
That's exactly right. And I feel like CJ Gardner-Johnson, when he decided like that whole part about coming down off the mountaintop down to trying to climb it again, maybe he was self-aware enough to go, you know what? I would be pretty annoying after like the fifth great thing I tell them about Philadelphia. Like he knows that.
You guys want to hear about that time that Travis Kelce tried to bait us, but we baited him.
I put my arms behind my back. Let's reenact it.
Yeah, I like thinking that he's like, all right, I got to just step back and really just have the right approach when I come in here. How do I go about being a veteran leader and just, you know, being careful about, you don't want to be overbearing with things.
Baldy did not talk me off the CJ Gardner-Johnson train with just that little drop there about him annoying his teammates. I'm still extremely excited for CJ Gardner-Johnson to rattle some skulls this year.
The media member I talked to from up there, well, I don't think he would care if I said it was Brooks Cabino, who used to cover Houston for the Athletic.
Yep.
He used to cover the Texans for the Athletic.
That's a great job.
Brooks Cabino basically said something along the lines of, you know, It sounded to me what he was saying is that the media appearances and the press conferences don't really tell the whole story about how he is. And I think it felt almost like he was saying that, like, he's a big personality and everything, and he'll say some things that are kind of crazy or whatever, but it's not, day by day, that's not the way he operates within the building.
It sounds like the big question is it harmful? You know, is it harmful or is it harmless? And it sounds like what he does is harmless, you know?
Yeah, there haven't been, I searched. I spent, a half hour kind of searching for dirt or whatever, and for whatever it's worth, I didn't see reports of him being a locker room issue or a cancer or anything like that. I think he is just doing his own thing, and it's a little outside the box, and some people don't know how to handle that.
Prediction time. Okay, prediction time. He's got 2 years left on his deal.
Yes.
Do the Texans become the first team in, 5 years that he actually comes back to for a second consecutive season? I know he was with the Eagles twice, but he had a Detroit season in between. So he's been New Orleans, Philly, Detroit, Philly, Houston, 5 teams in 5 years. Do the Texans become the team that's able to have C.J. Gardner-Johnson stick around for a second year?
This is my pet theory then.
Okay.
Given that nobody can really point out exactly why he's been... and to be clear, he was in New Orleans for 3 years. I know what you're saying.
Right.
He went from New Orleans to Philadelphia to Detroit and back to Philadelphia, now to Houston. It's been 5 years of a new place.
Moving around,
4 years of a new place. I think that he strikes me as the kind of guy that might not be afraid to say whatever he's thinking to anybody, no matter where they are in the organizational chart. So it's somewhere along the way he's pissed off. This is my theory and theory alone. He's pissed off one influential person by being a little too honest with him. I do think the Texans, they're kind of structured. We've seen Casario was able to set aside the insults by Steven Nelson and what have you. There was a limit, obviously, but I think that this organization might be the one where Cal is the ultimate, I think, in billionaires who aren't going to get offended by a guy saying something to him if he's just saying what he thinks is true or whatever.
Bullets bouncing off of him, you know?
So I think yes. And I think that I also think that if C.J. Gardner-Johnson has a really good year here this year, he's going to want a new contract.
There's that
And it kind of jibes with what the Texans do, which is, look, he can point to, look, Danielle Hunter, he checks off all those boxes. He walks the line. He's like a model example of what you want a player to be like.
Yep.
We gave him a 2-year contract. But it's all guaranteed.
Yep.
If CJ, they could give him a short-term contract
and
the amount of guaranteed money that it would be, I think CJ Gardner-Johnson would look at it, I'm finally getting the recognition we deserve. Meanwhile, the Texans are a little bit, they've got a backstop in case things go south.
Is he back in 2026? I know we're way out over our skis.
I think he is. Most likely, if I had to bet right now, I'd say I think he's back.
I think it's
almost definitely with a new contract.
I would agree with that.
But it's not going to be a long-term five-year record-breaking deal or something like
Payne
that.
Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, so this documentary got announced while I was out on vacation, and I've been Googling, trying to get more and more information on it, and I'm now getting mini-docs curated to me about the turkey leg hut. I have to bring this up, and what other documentaries would we want to see here about the Houston area? We'll do that coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, so Seth, this came down the I think when I was on vacation and I saw it and I saw Brandon Scott react to it. So I'm like, I bet they talked about this. Did you and Brandon Scott talk about at all the documentary that's going to be coming out about Turkey Leg Hut and that whole saga?
We didn't talk about it at all. No.
Okay. I thought maybe Brandon would bring it up. I am totally intrigued by this, and so I've been kind of Googling to see what the update is on when it's coming out or what's going to happen. And so now my YouTube timeline, I'm getting fed other 40-minute exposés that have been done on the whole turkey leg hut saga, which, I mean, for those of you, if you live in Houston, you probably know, one of the most iconic places to go eat here in town for years. If celebrities are coming in from out of town, they go stand in line over there, off of Alameda and go eat at Turkey Leg Hut. It was a big deal until the married couple that owned it got you know, got sideways, and it's turned into like a major, major thing. Now they're, you know, they're out of business now. But this Jamie McCoy Langford is the producer of it, and apparently only one side of the marital rift is cooperating with the documentary right now. So there's a chance that it might
not. That's dicey. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be, boy, if you're who's participating?
Nakia Holmes is, I believe, the woman, the wife,
yeah,
has denied involvement in the documentary through a publicist, but the documentary is going to push forward without her. I don't know if that necessarily means they're getting all kinds of contributions from the other side of the marriage. But this is it's a spicy story, man. Like divorce, bankruptcy, news reports of them selling marijuana out of the turkey leg hut. There was a point where there was arson involved. Like they, you know, one side of the marriage burned down a building involved with the other side. Like it's a crazy story. It's wild. I'm very much looking forward to it.
The I can't remember though. Did they close and then the drug allegations came out, or was it all intertwined?
They came out. They came out as the place was kind of getting into trouble.
As it was splitting apart. They had the bankruptcy filing and the health code violations and all of that.
Yeah. So it's
got the potential to be really, really good, depending on how much of the actual drama and the behind the scenes we get.
Yeah, and how balanced it is. You know, if it's just one side talking, you know. I mean, I'll enjoy it either way.
Are the allegations that they were actually selling drugs, or that people were selling drugs within the building?
No, I think
there's a fine line there.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna look up in the article here on the Chronicle. I'm searching on marijuana right now just to make sure I don't get the story wrong. In November of 2023, Holmes came forward. The names of the two folks, the couple involved here is Nakia Holmes and Lynn Price is the husband. Lynn Price is the husband. In November of 2023, Holmes came forward about her split from her husband. The next year, a fire lit up Turkey Leg Hut. It failed a health inspection, filed for bankruptcy, and closed in November of 2024. Price is currently being held in federal custody until his arson trial. This is an article from about 10 days ago in the Chronicle. An FBI agent testified that Price was believed to have sold marijuana out of the Turkey Leg Hut. So that's husband. So
So you gotta keep those two separate. You gotta have a separate place if you're.
Is that your advice?
Arson, man. I'll tell you what. Of all the crimes that I could see myself committing, no matter if we take like total morality out of it, I would sooner murder somebody and think I might get away with it than I would commit arson,
on my own place,
on something that I own that I've got the interest. Boy, I feel like there's. Maybe I've watched too many movies. Maybe it's actually harder to prove than it would seem. But you talk about you committing a crime where immediately you're the number one suspect.
Yeah.
Right? Like right off the bat. Yeah. Who's everybody looking at? And it's not just law enforcement. It's the insurance company as well that's going to be investigating it. So you've got private industry and the law looking into it. And it just doesn't. It seems like you'd have to be so smart to actually fool all those people.
I agree.
When you are indeed the number one suspect.
Yeah.
And we also know if you're the number one suspect, any little bit of evidence is going to be like totally blown up and used against you in court, and you're not going to win.
So I
applaud the chutzpah of anybody, that actually tries to pull it off. Yes. Yes.
The moxie.
It's like murdering your spouse.
Yeah.
You know you're the number one suspect.
No kidding.
Like, what do you think you're going to get away with that, idiot? You're convicted as soon as the cops walk in the door.
So is of the of
That's
this.
Why Brandy's always showing me these crime shows of the husband getting caught.
Yep. Don't even think about it.
That's her insurance.
Don't even
policy.
Think about it. Yeah. Why are we DVRing Law and Order all of a sudden?
This is
weird. So it would seem like then of the salacious endeavors that were involved with the Turkey Leg Hut that arson would be at the top of your power rankings that would interest you ahead of, say, marijuana sales, bankruptcy, or divorce.
Yeah.
Arson would be number one on your power ranking.
Of
all the salacious things.
And everything that goes, because you do a whole, like, that's a whole, you know, 15 minutes of the movie is figuring out how you're going to allegedly blaze the place. We don't know if it was arson or not.
Right.
But, like, how
You're right. You know, that's the crescendo.
You
contact, yeah.
You're going to have to talk to some kind of an expert, or you're going to have to Google it. So it's going to be on your internet record. It's a dicey proposition.
That's
man.
The crescendo.
And where do you find? I think it's easier to find a hitman than it is to find an arson expert. I would hazard.
Yeah. You like a hitman to kill as opposed to like somebody to execute arson for you.
Yeah.
Like someone
because especially whoever there's a, whatever arson experts there are out there in the underworld. Yeah. Then a bunch of the confidential informants know who that arson expert is, too.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, sir. No way. Yeah, the arson side of it is the most intriguing to me. Selling drugs out of the back of the restaurant. That's a, what's that? 25% of restaurants probably do that.
Well, do you know where that gets interesting? Yes. If you're listening and you own a restaurant, we're not talking about you, okay?
In this economy? Yeah. You got to boost it a little bit.
Do what you got to do, man. These tariffs.
Yeah. Hey, it used to be a great cash business, the restaurant business. You lost some of that.
Other Houston institutions, sports or otherwise, that you'd love to see a documentary on. You've already put your request in on a Roy Hoffeins documentary.
Oh, you would like to see that. I've also put my request in that if they renovate or build a new stadium, that there needs to be a Roy Hoffein-style apartment. I want Cal and Hannah and their kids living in the stadium.
Oh, yeah?
That would be awesome.
60s style, some shag carpet and some really bad paintings and stuff.
Yeah. Cal and Hannah's kids
A lot of formica. Yeah.
Those kids, like in my just limited interaction, they seem like very polite, good kids.
Yes.
I don't think you have to worry about them all of a sudden, you know, living a life of whatever. It would be awesome. Yes. They need to live in this. Are you listening, Cal and Hannah? You need to live in the stadium.
You seen their house? They need to move from there to the stadium.
Houses are overrated. I've seen their house.
Yeah.
You know what that thing costs?
Yeah.
To maintain, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Right. I don't need that in my life.
Maintain, property taxes, the whole thing.
Plus, you're living in the building. Like, it's all a write-off, man.
Yeah,
all
that's
of the,
true.
The expenses, the maintenance, all of that. It's all part of the business.
You don't need to worry about arson or marijuana sales. Someone needs to check on old Sether's tax returns. Yeah, look at you.
If there's two things Cal has learned from listening to this segment, it's that, A, he needs to live in the stadium, in a luxurious apartment with 70s shag carpet.
Yep.
And B, he needs to rethink his plans to torch his house to fund the new stadium.
He needs to rethink it.
Like, hey, Hannah, by the way, I think, you know, our plan is to partly fund the stadium by committing arson on our house. Let's rethink that.
Listen, Seth
brought up some good points.
Seth is really smart and brings up some good points about this. We got to rethink our strategy.
It might be a lot tougher than I thought. Yeah.
I would watch a Rusty Harden documentary for sure and all the different cases he's been involved in. Like, because there's going to be documentaries about Deshaun Watson someday. And, you know, we've already seen things about the whole Anna Nicole Smith and whatnot. But one about that follows Rusty through all those cases. I would watch that. He's an interesting character for sure.
I would like to, you know what? I'd rather see a docudrama of that with somebody playing Rusty Harden.
Yeah.
Probably Dennis Quaid would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that'd be good. Text in. Who would make a good Rusty Harden
actor? And just so that you have the conversations of him telling a client to shut up or I don't need to know that.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Urban Cowboy, like the real story. There's probably one out there about that. Like, you know, Urban Cowboy based, you know, this. Based on Pasadena.
Well, Gillies is basically
Gillies,
what you're looking
for. Like a story.
Urban Cowboy was totally fiction, other than that.
That's what
Gillies
I mean.
Like a
true story about the stuff that was portrayed in Urban. Yeah, like stories from Gillies documentary kind of thing. I bet there were some amazing stories from there back.
Well, if you wanted to make it like Urban Cowboy, it'd be some refinery worker that also was a champion. Wasn't there the mechanical
like a bull? Yeah, mechanical
situation
bull
situation in there. Yeah,
situation. Yeah.
Is that what the deal was with him? Was he also like? Was that one of the subplots?
I can tell you. It's been a long time.
Was he competing on a mechanical bull riding?
Help us out on the Urban Cowboy front. I don't remember. I just remember John Travolta and what's her name, Deborah Winger. That's what I remember from it.
Listen, kids. You might think you know what sexy is. Deborah Winger, slow riding a mechanical bull. Doesn't get much better than that.
Back in my day. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Very excited about that documentary, assuming it's coming out. All right, let's circle back. Texans. Chris Sims.
And I got to tell the story of the time my dad's restaurant burned to the ground.
Yes! That's a good tease. All right, we'll do that.
True story.
We will... We get to Chris Sims on CJ Stroud. But that story is going to be a tough act to follow. Chris Sims had high praise, maybe the highest praise we've heard all offseason for CJ Stroud. We'll have that for you coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.